the way of life that they do, and you'll find that you are pleased and thankful that we have a congregation like this. Brother Al Franks and Brother Paul Franks travel about as much as anybody from central Mississippi. They are at quick places, you might say, north and south and everything, rather than somebody from up here traveling to the south and going that way. And they meet up with various brethren in congregations, and they tell me steadily, when I inquire about the progress of the church in various places, that there are so many congregations that have people coming together that they have not an inkling of what they're going to do that day. They have teachers of classes that they don't know where they're going to begin or end. They have song leaders that are over in the corner working together quickly to get a song together in time for the service to be done. They are quickly getting people together, calling this one and that one and the other one to come and serve communion at the Lord's table. All that goes along with the lives of people leading prayer is another idea in regard to that matter. And yet we see here at this congregation, it's always somebody's willing to jump in. Somebody's willing to help. Somebody's willing to lead the prayer. Somebody's willing to go forward with the ideals. Isn't it a good thing to be a part of a congregation like this, to be prepared? And know that you all are part of such a good preparation time. I have no doubt if we were to look at the board and say, hey, we need another $50,000, that we would make $50,000. We'd sacrifice whatever's necessary to get together the funds over a short period of time to have it done. And I'm so thankful that I'm part of the congregation and part of your love in this regard. We're talking about God's care in this month, and we're talking about the way that God cares about our daily walk of life. And this morning, as we talked about how God cares for our daily walk of life, we're talking about how that He cared over all for everything about our daily walk of life in righteous conduct and in spiritual ways of following His will. Tonight, I'd like to go a little step further in that regard and look at the passages in the Scripture in reference to how He wished us to live. How did God wish us to live from day to day? There's a passage found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 in which the Apostle Paul says, we live by faith, we walk by faith, and not by sight. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. We don't look up a certain way for us to follow and that way to go, and by what man does in his life. We look at the Word of God and what that Word of God teaches us, because this faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Paul writes that in Romans 10 and 17. And so it is that God cares about how we live and how we walk and how we serve His way from the standpoint of a faith by which we live. Our Lord Jesus has scarcely begun the ministry that He did. And in Mark chapter 2, we read the following regarding His situation and a real good point being made. It is said, and again He entereth into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that He was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about to the door. And He preached the word unto them. And they came unto Him, bringing the sick of palsy, which was born of four, and when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when it had broken in, they led Him down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there was certain among the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch as they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Notice that the Lord was setting up a means whereby we would walk by faith and not by sight. And he was saying to these who were reasoning within their minds, this is an easy thing to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, although it blasphemes God to say that. And we ought to be putting together information that later on we can take against him. The truth of the matter was that he recognized within their own spirit and in his knowledge of what they were thinking, he recognized what they were saying. And when he asked this question, which would be easier, to say to the man sick of palsy, thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say to him, take up thy bed and walk. Arise, take up thy bed and walk. They reasoned within themselves the following. Words are words. And if he could say to the sick, thy sins be forgiven thee, we can't tell the sins are gone. We can't tell that, would we? It'd be much more difficult to say, rise up and walk. And Jesus noted them, so that you may know that me, the Son of Man, hath power on this earth to say to the sick of palsy, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. That's what he said to him. That implied, I also have the power to say to him, thy sins be forgiven thee. Two or three things are noted here. Jesus could look within the heart of that man who was let down out of that flat roof into his presence and see the faith that he had on that bed, that he would be helped by the Lord. If only he could get in the Lord's presence. You and I know the power and the strength of the Lord knows that he didn't have to be in the very presence of the Lord in order for the Lord to have that power to come in him to be able to be whole. But it is the case that there was a need on the practical part of the scribes that are there to really grow and to learn and to know that God should be glorified for the gift of his Son here on this earth. And so his Son says, take up thy bed and walk. The power that he had was wonderful power. And today he has that power to you and me, that we can be people who walk by faith and not by sight. As a result of that, we trust in him. We trust in him in a righteous way, in a good way. As it is said back over in the book of Psalms, if you might turn there to Psalms in reference to this situation, you will see something said in Psalm chapter 33, beginning verse 18. Notice that God beforehand, through David, had said the following. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Beautiful passage, Psalm 33, 18 through 22. To establish the idea that we have a trust that abides in the Lord. And David saying, we have a trust abiding in the Lord. And throughout the periods of time, we have that trust to abide in the Lord as we pray. His eyes are upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy. what it is about our lives that have that hope. It's a faith that we have, a belief that when we pray, the Lord is listening. The Lord heeds the things that we request. And as we request those things, we ask as did our Lord Jesus himself, "Thy will be done and not my own." The idea of the Lord's will being served is a way that we ought to pray and the way we ought to be as we walk by faith and not by sight. What a blessing it is to have this teaching in God's word and his will for our daily walk of life. When we have a word of prayer, we should find ourselves enjoying that prayer in the way that that hope goes up to the Heavenly Father through the Lord, our mediator, Jesus Christ. You know, when we think about this sort of thing, we've got to be appreciative of the fact that he says that he heeds to those words. He's aware of the prayers being said. I did a study many years ago with brethren away from a local congregation, and then I got into the local congregation right there in the midst of Panola County. And I asked questions of people, did a study, and took notes on that study, wrote them down about how often do you pray? How often do you pray, brother or sister? And let's talk about that just a little bit. And it'll go no further than you and me and the general reference. I'll make no reference to your name ever. And when I said that, they were willing to talk in depth about their wishing they had prayed. They remembered that they were being requested to pray at the local congregation last Sunday, but frankly didn't remember a thing about that idea until the next Sunday when the announcement was made once again. How that they failed to pray in regard to the needs of themselves and their families, dealing with sin and dealing with troubles and dealing with difficulties. It was a horrendous type of thing that I did with 800 cases. To find that so many brethren think about prayer, think they ought to have prayed, think they should have prayed, think they should have prayed about that particular request made, but never got around to it. Never, ever got around to voicing it. They went to bed night after night after night without a thought in regard to that word of prayer. Some of them were bothered and troubled as they woke up in the middle of the night and said a word of prayer at that time. And I applauded that that was a good thing to do. I frankly am tired enough at times that I drop off. And by the way, I found this afternoon my phone by the side of my bed because it was pushed off the bed by my feet last night. I was so tired as I dropped to the bed. I dropped off to sleep and I remind myself, Lord, this is really not me. I want to be a person of great prayer. And so now I voice this prayer to you. But it'll happen in our lives. We know that that can happen in our people's lives. But to go for years of time and to become a stranger to God in prayer, as it were, it's not a way to go. Is that a walk by faith and not by sight? Is that really doing the right thing by the Lord? When we find this wonderful plan from eternity itself that God had planned and how he wanted his son to live in that faith and teach that faith to others, go with me now to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and let's read the first 15 verses or so, maybe it's 18 verses of Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 1, we read, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sins, those sacrifices, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshipper once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance made again of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and in sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then saith I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, and will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. What we're reading here in Hebrews chapter 10 are statements regarding the nature of God and his will to care for mankind by way of the offering of his Son. In sacrifices and offerings, the animal sacrifice and the offerings of that, he never had full pleasure in those things. Why? The answer is in the very first verse. The law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices they offered take away the sins. So it is that God the Father looked at the circumstances of man and he looked at the offerings that man gave. And he never was completely satisfied with the offering of the animal sacrifice and blood shed for the remission of their sins. They had to come back the next year and offer. They had to come back the next time and offer. Often the same sacrifice, as is said, of the priest being offered. The bodies in which they did that, the Lord God of heaven never had complete sacrifice pleasure in those things. But when his Son said, I will go, as it is written in the volume of the book, that is the idea of the prophets of old as they predicted the coming of the Lord, like Isaiah did and Micah did, born in Bethlehem. The idea of Isaiah saying, he will teach us his way, we'll walk in his path. Jeremiah would say, all those things of which the prophet spoke regarding this Son of God to come to earth and offer himself for the sacrifice for the sins of the world, that was pleasing to the Heavenly Father. It was a sacrifice that, as Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 2, I had never seen, ear had never heard, never entered in the heart of a man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed these things in words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual words. We find ourselves doing the will of God in this matter. We honor this Jesus Christ. When we say to the Father in heaven, it is through our Lord, we should mean he is our Lord. In prayer. Indeed he is. And indeed what we write here and read here are words about his willingness to come and do the will of the Heavenly Father. This is divine conversation that the Hebrew writer allows us into. It's a conversation that went on between the Father and the Son. The Son saying, I will go and I will offer in this body that you have made for me. I will go into that body and I'll inhabit that body and I will live there on this earth. The Father alerted him through the prophet's words that he would be put to death. That he would not be heeded by the masses of people right and left. That it would be the case that in his way of life, teaching the will of the Heavenly Father, they would not abide in that way because, as John would put it in John 1, that is light. And in him there was no darkness at all. He taught things that would bring people to light. What were those things? Well, he taught us to be compassionate to others in the Good Samaritan account of Luke chapter 10. He taught us not to go by on the other side. He taught us to be people like that Samaritan who cared for him and took mercy upon him. And the lawyer said when he asked him, which one was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, well, I suppose that the one who rendered help to him. And Jesus said, go thou and do likewise. Go there and do it. Be that kind of person in life as you go through life. That's the way that Jesus taught us to do. He taught us to be people who love that compassion and love that presence of the Lord being in our daily walk of life and to pray to the Father through Him that this would be recognized. I'm talking about God's care to our souls as we talk about this lesson tonight. For God cares about our soul and cared about it from eternity itself when a conversation went on between He and the Christ. His Son would go to earth and suffer and do His will. In John chapter 17, when Jesus approached the Heavenly Father, He says three times in the first 9 verses of that chapter in John 17. I have done thy will. I have done what you sent me to do, O Father. He knew that he had fulfilled what the Father's will was. And the Father would recognize his blood as being the atoning blood for sinful mankind that came to God through him forevermore. On and on. Down the stream of time, somebody taught that to my family. Somebody taught that to me. There are people I've taught that to through the years. And wonderful is the hope of the soul that we can have if we go through Jesus Christ to our Heavenly Father and the recognition of His presence that from eternity He willed that that be the way it would occur. He willed that that would be the way it happened. That come through His Son. Man never dreamed that a person would offer His Son, yet He had the power and the ability to call him back to life. Call him back from the dead. He had the power and the ability to give His Son the privilege to announce to penitent, sorrowful mankind, thy sins be forgiven thee. Rise up and walk. And he did. This is a wonderful Savior. And in this Savior's words and will for you and me, it is a will that we have of repentance and baptism into Christ on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Ye shall receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful it is that Cornelius the Gentile would have that message and be commanded and commissioned to do that. And he would respond to that obediently as he was baptized into Christ. A faith that moved him to repentance and baptism into Christ. I know that he repented of where he was in that patriarch time because read a little bit later in Acts chapter 11 verses 16 through 18. And you'll read where they held their peace when Paul explained what had happened. Peter explained the whole situation of it. They said, following, they held their peace and glorified God. He had granted repentance unto life unto the Gentile. You read Acts chapter 10 over and over again, you'll never see the word repent there, but you'll see the actions of Cornelius as he turned away from his living as faithfully as he knew how to do, and as faithfully as he knew how to teach his family, that he could do this, turn from that, turn unto the Lord Jesus, and through him have forgiveness of his sins. What a blessing it is to have that knowledge and that awareness. God's care for the soul. Thank you for being with us tonight as we sing the song of encouragement. Think about your relationship to the Lord, and if it needs to be, that you would come for prayer and restoration to be done of your soul and life, we can pray with you tonight. And that will be a wonderful thing. You can pray for yourself before you go to bed tonight. What a wonderful blessing you have to have that relationship through the Savior, Jesus Christ. As we stand to sing, will you come?
God is calling the prodigal
without delay. Hear, oh, hear him calling, calling now.
Lord, you wandered so far from the presence, come today. Hear his loving voice calling still, calling now for thee, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, come, weary prodigal, come, calling now for thee, calling now for thee. Father, and to spare.